Welcome to The Sweet Spot. I'm your host, Corey Bradley. The NFL draft is around the corner. We're a few weeks away from it officially kicking off. And this time of year is always exciting. The offseason transactions, the moves, the acquisitions, teams who go from pretenders to contenders and vice versa. And, you know, it's always trades. I mean, I feel like the NFL is the best sport when it comes to surprising deals and players being moved that you didn't really expect. They go to certain franchises you didn't foresee. And with that being said, I'm talking about Stephon Diggs going to the Houston Texans. The Buffalo Bills traded their star wide receiver, their number one and number two options. We know we talked about it, Chris. Chris Liuzzi joining me. You know, we talked about it recently of Gabe Davis not being a true number two. So he was really a three. And now they've lost their top two options that they've had in the last couple years, man. So Stephon Diggs now with C.J. Stroud, Tank Dell, man, give me your thoughts.
Nico Collins,
you know, John Metchie, if he's still
Noah Brown had some moments too.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's going to be interesting wide receiving room now that you add a guy like Stephon Diggs on top of that. So, I mean, just give me your thoughts on how you feel about the trade itself for Diggs, for Stroud, for Allen, for the Bills, for the Texans. Just kind of tell me your initial emotions and feelings when that trade was announced.
So, initially, I mean, it's why, right? Like, the big question, like, why? And, you know, I thought about it for a little bit, and it made more sense the more I thought about it. For Houston, right, you ask Houston why they do it, that's pretty easy. I mean, they saw last year Stroud is the guy. Like, they got a guy. They're saying, all right, well, we're going to go on his window, see what we can do. Makes it even, you know, kind of more notable, too, when, you know, about an hour ago, Schefter reported that as part of that trade, the Texans wiped out the last 3 years of Diggs' contract, too. So he is allowed to become a free agent after this season. So what that means is this is potentially just a one-year rental, which takes some of the risk away from Houston. And so I was a little bit more, after I thought about it, like, I kind of understood the Bills, and I still do.
Yeah.
But I thought Houston was taking on some risk. Like, I mean, Diggs is 31, or he's going to be 31 this season. You know, a lot of times history shows that, you know, kind of be a little bit of a fall off at that point. He didn't have a great latter half of the season last year, and this isn't, this is also just ignoring, you know, the discontent we've seen Diggs have if he's not getting the targets he's getting, he wants, things like that, right? So you have the locker room part of it. So I was like, man, I don't know. Like, that's a lot to risk. You have this young, you know, hopeful team with Stroud. Like, I was like, I hate to go in and ruin that chemistry. Well, now, I mean, if it is bad, well, they just get rid of him after a year. It's not even that bad anymore. So I think I like it more for Houston after finding that out. And if they do like him, then hey, they can go and sign him. And if not, they got to get a good year out of him and they move on. You know, no big deal. But for Buffalo, right, that's a big that's the big one. Everyone's like, whoa. But just like I said, so you know what it reminds me a lot of is Minnesota moving on from Diggs. It's a very similar very, very similar scenario where Buffalo is saying, like, okay, there's a really good wide receiver draft class coming up. Diggs did not have a great productive end to the season. He's 31. He's had all the, I mean, the last 2 years, every time you see Josh Allen talk, it's trying to say, no, man, Diggs are cool. It's okay. You know, and he, so he had, you know, he didn't show up to the mandatory mini camp last offseason. You remember McDermott, that was when McDermott was there, and he was saying he was concerned about that. Then he had the most recent tweet from Diggs kind of implying that, you know, Allen isn't really anything without him. It basically seems like that relationship was just done.
Yeah.
Of whether that was more on Diggs, whether it was on the Bills, we'll never know. But basically, that relationship just seemed like it was done. And so, I mean, like, why would you want to keep that guy, right? Like, as you said, that wide receiver room is rough, especially now. But it's like, if he doesn't want to be there, I mean, you're only going to make a bad situation worse, right? And so that's where, like, initially I was like, what? And then as I thought about it, I was like, okay. I get it. And, you know, it also gets them an extra second round pick. If they want to go up and get somebody, they can. And if they want to stick around and stay at 28, I mean, this is a really good wide receiver class. And also, you do have Josh Allen, so the world isn't over, right? You do want to get him more targets, but I mean, that's still Josh Allen. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of those rare cases where it makes sense for both sides. Like, I get it. What do you think?
Yeah, man. You know how I feel about diva receivers and just that whole mindset when it comes to those guys who are always complaining. They're never satisfied. They sign a 7-year deal, and then next year they want an extension. That's Terrell Owens I'm talking about. Yeah. Like those type of guys get on my nerves because you're super talented. You're going to get the ball. You are not always open. You see what I'm saying? Like, you are not always open as you think. And just because you are good doesn't mean you should get the ball every single play. Like, and then sometimes teams just do a wonderful job scheming against you, you know, and taking you away. Yeah. Like, if you bracket cover somebody with somebody over the top, somebody underneath, and they do it to you the whole game, then you're not going to get those targets. You just can't. You hope that your ability to take away the defense and the attention and the eyes on you will open up for everybody else on your team. So, man, Stephon Diggs being traded, I was like, that heavily depletes the Buffalo Bills wide receiver room, but I'm all about getting rid of headaches. I don't care how talented you are. If you are a headache and a potential cancer to the team, get rid of that dude. Like, there's only a matter of time. You can ride it for a way, you know, for like a couple years. Which they did, right? They had him for a few years, and it's like it's run its course. It kind of ran its course last year, but they held onto it for a little longer, and so now I think it came to the point where they like, look, okay, I know how bad our receiving core is going to be right now until we can address it and add to it, but this is a move that has to be protected because now you've been taking shots at our GM Brandon Bean, you're taking shots at McDermott, you're taking shots at the quarterback Josh Allen. Like, we have to stand up for what is right. And I loved it for the Bills.
Who have done nothing but defend him in the media, right?
That's, I mean, Allen has done everything he can to support Diggs, man. I mean, everything in his, I mean, and what you want your quarterback to do, even though if he doesn't believe it, is like, man, I'm not going to bash him. I'm going to be a professional about that. And you notice that a lot of times it's the quarterback is the professional one out of it. The receiver one is the childish one, and the baby that acts a fool. You know, Chad Ochocinco's had his moment, Terrell Owens, Antonio Brown. You know, you have all these guys that come through, and it's just like A.J. Brown. That's another one, too. Wait for that A.J. Brown and the whole Jalen Hurts situation. I think that's something that's on ice, too. Thin ice. So, but I liked it for Buffalo making the move. I didn't like it for Houston initially because of why are we adding this to C.J. Stroud? He just had a phenomenal rookie year, and now you're adding to his thought process. And that, okay, now when I go through my reads, I gotta make sure I'm thinking about Diggs first because I don't want him getting upset with me, and I want to keep him happy, and I don't need any quarterback, especially a young quarterback, having to deal with that kind of headache. So, but like you said, with the new news that now those 3 years are gone, remaining in the Diggs contract, so he becomes a free agent after this year, or has the option to do so, it's like a make or break type, you know, Super Bowl or bust type year for the Houston Texans. Which now, like you said, it shifts. Okay, Houston, you're putting all the chips in for this year, which is great. And I do like it a little more for Houston now, and I still like it for Buffalo. Now it becomes, and I hate when they do this. Okay, who won a trade? Who lost a trade? I try not to get into the grades and all that stuff, but I like it for Buffalo, and I like it even more so for Houston, too. So it's kind of one of those rare win-win scenarios.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. And just as a reminder, too, Buffalo, I mean, he's not Diggs by any means, but Shakir looked pretty dang good. He actually outproduced Diggs in the latter half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So they might have a guy in Shakir, and then they went and got Curtis Samuel, who's a guy I like a lot. And obviously we still have the draft coming up. You know, Kincaid still there. Like, they got some guys. Like, they definitely still need to go get help. But I think it's not, you know, all doom and gloom. But they still, it almost seems like Buffalo is almost reloading for the year after in a way, too. They shedded a lot of contracts this offseason, not just Diggs, but defensively as well. So it almost seems like this is like a mini, it's obviously not a rebuild, you have Josh Allen, but like a mini retooling year, I guess, is the way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, we're going to go ahead and shed all these heavy dead cap contracts that we don't want anymore. We don't think they're worth their value anymore. We'll, you know, hopefully maybe Josh Allen will Superman us this year. And then next year we can kind of reload. That's what it seems like to me from Buffalo. And I don't hate it, honestly.
And with the details of the trade, along with Diggs, they also sent a 6th-round pick this year, a 5th-round pick next year. And the Bills, as you talked about the following season, you said Buffalo's preparing for the following year. they get a second round pick for next year. So like you said, it's really about the following season. They're going to do what they can to stay competitive and remain in the hunt, and they will, because they have that kind of talent. They have a good staff on the coaching side. Yep. So they'll still be a tough team in within the AFC. But like you said, they've now are starting to free up for next year and seeing what they can do there. Also, talk about one of those caveats that people tend to overlook when you talk about Stephon Diggs becoming a free agent. So if the Texans do lose him, what would they receive?
Yeah, they get the compensatory pick next year. So that's the other part of it for Houston too. And I'll give Nick Caserio credit. And I'm basically in lockstep with you, man. Like I went from like not really loving it for Houston to like now, like even though I understood it, like not my favorite, to like now. I mean, I think it's I totally get it. Shoot, for 1 year, and if he is a problem, get rid of him. You're good. Mm-hmm. Not even a big deal. And so. Yeah, and get rid of him, and then you get the comp pick for it, and and Nico Collins, you build around Nico Collins. Nico is really, really dang good, and they got a pretty good young receiver core in general over there. So I think they're going to be all right with or without Diggs, you know, as long as Diggs isn't. That was my concern, the same as you, is if you go get Diggs. I mean, Nico is arguably like if Diggs doesn't bounce back from the second half of last season, like he's going to be fighting with Nico for that number one role. Nico looked really dang good last year. Him and Stroud had it going. Would Diggs be okay with that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know that he would. Maybe. Maybe the second time being, released from a team would be, gotten rid of from a team would be like a wake-up call, but I don't know. But if it's just for a year, that cuts out a lot of risk. And I think it makes a lot of sense. And, I mean, I could say all that about Diggs. I'm not excited about having to go cover that wide receiver in court next year as a Colts fan. So,
man. Dude, the Texans beat my Steelers, too. And that was one of those at the time. I'm like, we just lost to the Texans? Like, are you serious? Yep. We just lost to the Houston Texans. And like I said, that was one of those where another game where the defense keeps you in it, but it's offense sputters and can't do anything. So it's like we made those moves. We're continually making those moves as well as you're talking about being a counterpart of the Texans, to where you got to score the team because they can light it up. They showed in the rookie season with Stroud, you talking about Nico Collins, who had nearly 1,300 receiving yards. Tank Dell had a really good year before he got hurt. Like, and now they add Stephon Diggs to that, like, and Joe Mixon.
And Dalton Schultz is good, too.
And Joe Mixon, they traded for him. Yep, and got Dalton Schultz. So, I'm with you, man. The Texans are going to be tough. This is going to be an interesting year for them and for Diggs and for the Bills. And, you talked about, and this is where this is one thing. It happens in March, right? The new calendar, the new year, the new league year rolls over. You have the offseason. You have free agency. You have these trades that are being made. And, like I said, I love the NFL because guys are being moved that you don't expect to be moved. And it's just like, oh, I didn't see that coming. And you talked about Diggs. You talked about Diggs. How this reminds you how he was traded from Minnesota to Buffalo. Do you recall Buffalo sent a first-round pick to Minnesota in that deal? Do you recall who the Vikings took in that first round?
Yeah, it was he's pretty good, right?
Pretty
solid
good
receiver they got over there.
Yeah, he's kind of
decent.
Yeah, like a fan favorite among kids. Kids love this dude, Justin Jefferson, man.
Yeah.
Like Justin
best receiver Jefferson in the league. Pretty, yeah, yeah.
I mean, dude. So as we look,
the situation mirrors that one so much. It really does.
It was a home run for both teams, right? Buffalo won it. They got Diggs, and you got Minnesota gets Justin Jefferson. So now, we talked about the second round pick that the Bills receive in next year's draft, but in this first round of this current draft, they have to take a receiver, right? But there's no way they take any other position besides a receiver.
You would think, and it's a really good receiver class to take one in too. So I mean, it sure seems like it. You never know how the board falls, I guess, but it sure seems like that would be the direction they would take.
They would have to, man. I mean, they're sitting at 28 overall in that first round, and I just don't see there's any other position that you could target. I mean, they were kind of like heavily kind of positioned for that 28th pick to be a receiver in the first place, prior to the Diggs trade. Mm-hmm. So I feel like even more so when you see mock drafts, it was going to be receiver, and I think it's even more solidified and confirmed that they're going to take a receiver. And this is a team that doesn't have a lot of early picks. They have a number 28 pick. They have a number 60 pick, which is in the second round. But then it's 128, 133, 144, 160, 163, 200, 204, 248. Now, they have a lot of darts at the dartboard that we're talking about, but those darts are a little farther down, They're a little smaller shots of hitting those on those darts. So, but yeah, man, so the Bills probably going to target a first rounder or receiver in that first rounder with the 28th pick overall, more than likely. Your Colts, my Steelers.
Yep.
Where do you feel as the Colts select 15th, the Steelers select 20th? Where are you leaning as far as, okay, what do you think the team is looking at doing? What are you looking at possibly as a personal? If you were making the picks yourself, if you were in Chris Ballard's ear and he had, and you had all his attention, you know, or he had all your attention, and he's gonna do exactly what you're guiding him to do. If Chris Ballard was willing to say, "Hey, Chris, let's talk, man. What do you think? Yep. Where should I go right here?" So give me what you think that the Colts are leaning and thinking, what they're gonna do with that first round pick, and then also what do you believe for you? Who would you like to see at that number 15 selection?
Well, man, first off, I sure wish Ballard would. We've talked about this ad nauseum. The things I would do just to be in the draft room. Anything. I mean, you could just sit me in the room, let alone asking me what I'd want, right? But see, I've got a number of guys that either I like, or, you know, I always tell you, I try to look through like Ballard's eyes, who I think he would like. And there's three really at 15 who I think like make just a ton of sense. It's just whether or not they'll be there. And number one is a Quinyon Mitchell. Mm-hmm. I think if that's the big if he's there, he just checks every box of like a Ballard type of, he's like, he tested really well, ran the 4.3. All of his athletic numbers are really good. He dominated the Senior Bowl. His tape looks really good. He's really physical. He's a good tackler. Like, he just checks every single box at a need that we, you know, we're really needing cornerbacks. And hey, we just talked about Diggs. Someone's going to have to cover him, right? Yeah. So that just seems like that screams the pick to me personally. And this is maybe just me being, you know, infatuated with that side of the ball a little bit and surrounding Richardson with help. If Brock Bowers or Brian Thomas Jr. are there, I want one of those guys.
Yeah.
I know we need the corner help. And it's one of those things where I'm probably like, logistically, we need to go defense, because our offense, even last year under Steichen with Gardner, was pretty good. And so, I mean, our offense really isn't dependent on more help. It's really, can Richardson stay healthy? That's going to determine how good our offense is, right? But gosh, man, like, if we had Bowers or Thomas Jr., and it's hard for me not to just daydream a little bit. Like, what would they do?
Yeah.
But to me, I think if Quinyon's there, I think he's like far and away the guy. I'd be really happy with a Terrion Arnold type of guy too. Don't know if Ballard. I'm not sure, because he doesn't really fit like the size and all that Ballard likes to look for. But I personally just like Terrion Arnold a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to see him. Cooper DeJean is interesting, especially, I think he might join that group of guys too for me, depending on his pro day is here on April 8th. And so depending on his testing numbers coming back from that injury and all that, he might slide into that group too. But yeah, I mean, put it this way, I think there's a good chance we get somebody, you know, pretty dang good at 15.
Yeah.
If like a Dallas turn, I don't think he's going to be there, but if one of those top premier edge guys fall, I could see us even going that route. So, I mean, there's a couple ways. I think if I was a betting man, if I had to bet on what position or just like what side we go, I think it's defense. Even if I, you know, can't help but fall in love with the thought of, you know, Thomas Jr. or Bowers being on the squad, I think we go defense, and I can't really hate it. Like, I wouldn't even hate it. I just, you know, it's just me, me being me. But, you know, trading back, there's some good, pretty good. Day one, right? And we might trade back. Like, if Quinyon's not there, Bowers, Thomas, if none of those guys are there, then hey, I wouldn't be shocked if we trade back. Then maybe we take a DeJean later. Maybe we take like a Jared Verse or like a Kool-Aid McKinstry, or shoot, go back on the receiver train. I've told you, I'm really excited about Xavier Worthy. I think he's going to be, especially, I would love to see what Steichen could do with him. I think he's going to be a problem in the league. So there's a couple ways we can go, but betting, man, I think we go defense, man. We need it.
So you're thinking defense for sure.
Yeah, I'm thinking defense. And we've talked about some guys, right, that your team might be looking at too. So we might be butting heads a little bit. You know, we're picking 15, you guys at 20.
And you're right, man, because like I said, we both need corner, right?
Yep.
And, you know, Mike Tomlin is a defensive guy. You know, a lot of our first round picks have been on that side of the ball. You know, so like you said, with corner, the guys you mentioned, Cooper DeJean, you mentioned Terrion Arnold. Those are two guys that I have highlighted on my board too. Like, I made a little personal board of the guys I'm hoping at corner that I would love to see be a Steeler. And it ranges from first to third and fourth round guys at that position. So, you know, I'm with you, man. So before we get into Pittsburgh, you're thinking if it's not one of those guys that you mentioned, that you think you will trade back. You think what is the likelihood that you think the Colts would trade back if it's not one of those top guys sitting at 15? What are the percentages? What are the chances? You think it's very likely?
I think maybe 60-40. Okay. And just because Ballard has a track record of trading back, if the guys that he, you know, is looking at aren't there, he has zero issues trading back. My dream scenario is somehow Quinyon Mitchell's there at 15 and we mm-hmm. trade back up and get like a Worthy or even a Thomas Jr., like one of those top receiver guys. I don't think that's going to happen. That's just me, you know, playing fantasy football there a little bit, mm-hmm. but I don't know. It's part of the draft. It's part of the fun of the draft is no one knows how the board's going to shake out. I mean, I don't think Bowers is going to be there at 15, right? Yeah, but if he is, I mean, it's hard for me not to just
take him, man.
Go run to the podium, man. Just go get him, you know?
Hey, for real.
We need corner board and we do edge. But if, like, Dallas Turner, if, like, the top edge guy's there,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I could see that being, like, a pick, too. So it's so hard to tell without knowing how the draft's going to shake out. But that's what makes it so fun. I mean, I'm pumped for it. I mean, with the Steelers, you know, we've – kind of bounce about your team, right? Is every mock draft you look at is offensive tackle for the Steelers. Yeah. Offensive tackle. We've talked about this, and you're not so sure that's going to be the move, right? So what are you thinking for the Steelers at 20?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sold that it's going to be an offensive tackle. Now, I believe at some point we will select a tackle because we need depth at that position. Now, when you look at the starting tackles that are projected currently, you have Broderick Jones, first-round pick from Georgia. You have Dan Moore, junior from Texas A&M a few years ago. Those are two solid guys to have at tackle at this position. Like, Dan Moore, junior, actually just received a performance-based pay raise compared to his salary and how he performed. He received a significant raise based on his play from this previous season. So there's a lot of talk with people wanting to push him out. I'm like, we need depth, but we have an adequate starting left tackle right now. You know, as far as Jones has played right and left, and you got more he can do. You know, so I'm not sure it's going to be a tackle. Now, the flip side of that, I think it could be an offensive lineman, you know, so we currently don't have a center in place as a starter. We have Nate Herbig as our only center. His brother Nick is a rookie last year from Wisconsin who really made waves. I like him a lot on the defensive side of the ball as an edge rusher. So Nate Herbig is our only center. We released Mason Cole. And we tried to we talked about the Bills. Mitch Morris was a center that was let go from them. We tried to get him. He went going to Jacksonville. So center is a big hole right now. And I know at some point we will take center, but will it be in the first round? That's where I'm not 100% sure. And you know, when we look at the draft history, I went back and did my homework, man. Since Mike Tomlin's first year in 2007, we've taken three centers. One was A.Q. Shipley in the seventh round. AQ Shipley in 2009. We took Kendrick Green in 2021 in the third round. He was there with us for a few seasons before we traded him to Houston. And then Marquise Pouncey. We all know Pouncey. Pouncey had a wonderful year, wonderful career his entire time with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that was a first rounder in 2010. So we've only taken three centers in the entire draft. One was a seventh rounder, one was a third rounder, one was a first rounder, and you could say only one that worked as far as the worked out was Pouncey. So, and we need a starting center. We tried it with a rookie in the third round, Kendrick Green, and it didn't work that year. And that was just 3 years ago. So, I'm leaning that it could be center at that 20th spot. Also, because Mike Tomlin mentioned at the owners meeting, he talked about how there's a select few guys who are ready to step in and be a starter day one. But he said there's a whole lot more total who aren't ready. You see what I'm saying? So he's basically saying select few, you better get, if you need a center, you need to get one early. Now, which means we don't necessarily have to get him at 20. We could get him at 51. Yeah. You know? So that's the other part too. As I look at the Steelers and I'm looking at what we need, I'm looking at how we're going to go about this first pick. I'll say this. I don't think it'll be tackle, even though that's what a lot of people are projecting.
Okay.
It could be center. It could be corner. as we talked about. I like Cooper DeJean. I like Terrion Arnold. Terrion Arnold's the guy from Alabama. When I was watching them this past year, I didn't watch a lot of Alabama, but when I would watch them, I promise you, I was like, man, he looks like a Pittsburgh Steeler. He plays like a Pittsburgh Steeler. Like his gritty, tackling and aggressiveness that he displays on the field, like he just plays like a Pittsburgh Steeler. That's what I thought when I would watch them this past year, and here it is. It's a need for us. So Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean, two corners I like a whole lot. If it's not one of those, if we don't go corner and we do go center, and somebody who can play center, two guys you want to look for is Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon, Graham Barton from Duke. Graham Barton is another guy.
Those are two guys out of my head too. If you're looking at, you know, trying to get a center,
because Graham Barton is a guy who's played center and left tackle. You see what I'm saying? So that's always huge too. Which we need depth at tackle, and we do need a starting center. So right there with Barton, you get somebody who's capable of being a versatile guy on that line. And, you know, those are two guys I'm looking at. If we take one at the 20th selection, it's going to be one of those two guys, I believe, if it's an old lineman. And I need to ask you this, because I'm going to answer it too. If there's like a far-fetched first round, like completely blow your mind because this is so out of the ordinary or out of character of your organization. If the Colts were to take someone at 15 that doesn't fit with anything that Chris Ballard has done, I know he sticks by the book because you have nailed several draft picks that he's made before they're announced at the podium. You've nailed them because you know your GM. So Omar Khan is a new GM in Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying? We don't have a lot of track history with him, man. So, but I'm going to ask you this. If there was a surprise pick at 15 where you're like, oh, whoa, I did not see that coming at all, what position would you think that would be? Or do you think it's like for sure it's going to be one of the top corner guys? Or
I really do think it would be one of those top corners. I guess to answer that question, if I were to say somebody who at least is in the ballpark of reasonable, I'm not going to say like a quarterback or something, that would shock me, but ballpark of being reasonable would be taken like a Byron Murphy, like one of the top defensive tackles. Mm-hmm. Not that they're not worthy of being chosen there. I would just be surprised for us. I mean, we just extended Grover. We've got Buckner. We've invested a lot into the defensive line in the last two or three years in general. And I am never, ever against building up the front on either side. But just with the holes that we have, that would be I could see it. I would be very surprised if I did see it, though.
Yeah.
So that would be the guy for me. So what are you thinking, though, if we were to turn that question around to you? Like, is there a pick you think maybe very, very small chance could happen, but you'd be very, very surprised?
Dude, so I'm going to let you guess it and see if you can figure it out. So we have needs, right? And you know there's one position I haven't talked about as a need, but it's a clear need this offseason, as we know what has transpired and through trades and through moves. Which position do you think that is? So I know we need corner, I know we need a center, but there's a position that's got a little what are you gonna do there? You
a receiver?
Yeah, receiver, man.
It was
a need last year when you had Pickens and Johnson. It was still a need. You're like, man, you need a third guy. You need a clear number three guy. And they went and got Allen Robinson. Never really liked the move. After 1 year, he's done. Cap casualty. Calvin Austin III, a fourth-round pick a few years ago, has been hurt. Hadn't had a chance to see what he can do. So that was a need last year. And all you've done from the previous year was take some of those guys out. You took Johnson out, which is huge. You took Allen Robinson out. That's huge. You add Van Jefferson on a one-year contract. You add Quez Watkins on a 1 year contract, but where would you list those guys when we talk about receiving pecking orders? Where would you list them as far as on the depth chart? Where would those guys be? Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins. What would you say there?
It would be the you don't want them being your number one, regardless order.
Or number two.
And I do like. What's that?
I said or number two, right? You probably wouldn't want them
or
like
number two.
Two,
yeah. And I say this to somebody who likes Van Jefferson a lot. Yeah. You don't want to roll in with him as your number one or two. And so, no, you're right. And that is, I mean, I'll ask you then give you a similar question. If you, Corey Bradley, were behind that decision, say, I don't know who some of the receivers are you like, but say that one of the guys that you like, and I'm sure we'll get into that in another episode, but say one of the receivers falls that you are really, really infatuated with. They're there. One of the top, those two, you know, center guard, one of those interior offensive linemen are there. Mm-hmm. And then also Cooper DeJean and Terrion Arnold are there. What are you doing?
Oh, man. So you're saying top center is there, and you have the top corners.
You have one of your receivers you like, but there's also the top corners or top, you know, centers there. Like, what do you think you would do?
All right. So, I'm going to answer it this way. As we talked about, you talked about the surprising position with the receiver. I'm going to dive back into that. But to answer your question first, if it was 20th overall and no, we need a center, we need a corner. We traded Deontay Johnson for Dante Jackson at corner. So Dante Jackson is slated to be outside corner opposite from Joey Porter Jr. But he has 1 year left on his deal too. But this is someone the Steelers have loved. The Steelers liked him a lot coming out of LSU. They tried to trade for him last year. They finally acquired him this year in the deal for Deontay Johnson. Man, this is tough. Man, if Cooper DeJean or Terrion Arnold's there, give me one of them. Like, hands down.
I've told you before that Cooper just sounds like a Steelers. He just seems like a Steelers corner to me. Watching him, he just...
Dude.
He just seems like he would be a Steeler.
Give me Cooper DeJean or Terrion Arnold. And you're right. Cooper DeJean, like I said, Terrion Arnold played like a Steeler. He looked like a Steeler. You seen it yourself with DeJean. Like, and what? He's coming from Iowa, so he already has the black and gold on. All we need to do is put it in Pittsburgh.
And he can play... I mean, they've talked about moving him to Sadre. He's versatile. Like, he just, he makes a lot of sense as a Steeler. So, yeah, that'd be, you never know. And Terrion Arnold definitely does too. I mean, I love Terrion Arnold. I'm not sure how he feels about him because of his size, but he doesn't really have any weaknesses. Not really. I mean, you can knock him for his size. He doesn't have, like, maybe, you know, he's not as fast as, like, a Quinyon Mitchell, for example, but, like, he doesn't, like, his play, like, where are his holes? You know, he just doesn't really. He's a good tackler. He can play press. He can play off. Like, he just, I mean, he's just, you can't really go wrong with Arnold, I feel like.
And so I'm going to answer. So if I had to pick one, though, if I'm on the clock, you got to give me one. You can't choose two, Corey. Give me one.
Yeah, the clock's ticking.
Give me Cooper DeJean, man, because he also is he makes what Mike Tomlin calls splash plays. And if you think of a splash play, it's like when we look at the Steelers, Minkah Fitzpatrick, how he punches the ball out, he gets interceptions. T.J. Watt forces fumbles, recovers interceptions. He does splash plays. You need more splash plays from that defense side of the ball because that's where the bonus points come. Whenever your defense can turn those opportunities into scoring opportunities immediately, he has pick sixes for days. Watch his highlights.
Yep.
He's returned punts for touchdowns. Like, Cooper DeJean would be my selection. Now, like I said, they already have Joey Porter Jr. and they love Dante Jackson. Though, I mean, these are two guys that they feel comfortable with, especially with Jackson. You know, like I said, 1 year left on the deal. That's where I'm like, ooh, we could take a corner because you're not sure if Jackson's going to live up to what you've liked him to be in the last couple of years. But I think for me, if I was on the clock and I'm the GM, it's Cooper DeJean for sure. Now, with that being said, I talked about the surprise position. You talked about receivers. This is a position of need. We haven't taken a receiver since 2006 in the first round. Since 2006. That was Santonio Holmes. We hadn't taken a receiver in the first round since 2006. So it's not likely we'll take a receiver, right? Also, because since Mike Tomlin's first year in 2007, we've taken a total of 17 receivers, but 10 of the 17 came in the second or third round. So that lets you know right there, usually under Mike Tomlin, when the receiver's going to be taken, it's going to be taken in the second or the third. Yep. James Washington was a second-round pick. Juju Smith-Schuster was a second-round pick. Chase Claypool was a second-round pick. Deontay Johnson was a third-round pick. You see what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that's kind of where the Steelers hit on receivers. They try to take – George Pickens himself was a second-round pick. So you talked about surprising position. If it was a Steelers surprising pick – and I didn't see it coming in that first round, it would be receiver. And if it was somebody that we did take a receiver that I would expect to be on the board, it would be Adonai Mitchell from Texas. That's a guy, man, I like him a lot, dude. I like him a lot just from watching tape and just he's explosive. I just don't think we'll take a receiver with the number 20th pick overall.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, who knows, right? that's a part of the fun. We could speculate all day. They might, you never know what they're going to do at 20. Whether they pick at 20, whether we pick at 15, nobody knows. Nobody knows how the board's going to fall. I mean, we talk about Cooper, depending on how we test here in a couple of days, Cooper DeJean might, I mean, you never know. He might be the first corner that goes, right? Nobody knows. Boy. If you look at a bunch of people's like boards, right? It's like, it's Cooper, it's Therrien, it's Quinion. I mean, it's that mix. There's some guys really high on like a Wiggins. There's the order. Those guys are all like really close to each other. And so mm-hmm. I could see teams being like, okay, yeah, I like him. And another team being like, no, I like him. And to give credence to Cooper, like you were saying, really good returner. And hey, returners matter coming into this next season with the kickoff change. Yeah. And so his stock's going to go up for that too. And so, I mean, but who knows what's going to happen? I'm excited for it. I don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to speculate with you every single day until then, because it's fun to do. It's what we do as fans. I'm going to do 50 mock drafts, and you know, that's just the way it's going to be. But I'm pumped for it though, man.
So in your mock draft that you've done, mm-hmm. I know you had some, you mentioned there were some that kind of like, oh wow, he failed us. That's not realistic. But who did you feel like, okay, this is going to happen? It's very possible. Did you stick to the board based on how you saw it really playing out? What were some of the results that you had in your mock draft?
So I'm going to ignore the day two or day three guys, because I'm sure we'll get there in another segment. But Quinion Mitchell was the most picked one. If he was there, I was taking him probably 99% of the time, because I just think that's what we're going to do. I've told you, I don't get all the Ballard picks right, but gosh dang, man, he just checks every single box. I'd be shocked if put it this way, if we go corner at 15 and it's not Mitchell and he's available, I would be beyond stunned.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the obvious pick. If you just hope he's there, I just don't know if he's going to be there. That's the guy for me. What about you? Who's your most locked in pick at 20 from the mocks you've done?
Man, you know, I played around a little bit. You know, I took Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon at center. I did that because I felt like that's where we were. Hearing Tomlin say there's not many, but that doesn't mean you have to take him in the first round. You could take him in the second round. And so that's the other part where I played around, but I took Jackson Powers Johnson, I know, a time or two. The other time, I took a man, I traded back a couple times and still got Cooper DeJean, you know, which I was pretty stoked about that, you know. Traded back to later in the first and picked up an extra second and was still able to get Cooper DeJean, man. So, I'm a value guy. I love my second and third round picks, man. I love my day two picks. Yeah. Like, I'm all about them. So, I would be somewhat surprised if the Steelers traded back in that first round. Not saying we couldn't do it any other time, but in the first round, I think if we do trade back, I think it's somebody I think it's one of those linemen. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a group of. I put it like this: if we trade back, I feel like we're picking up a second or a third, along with moving back in the first. And we're trying to ensure that we could get so if we took a corner in the first round, we're trying to ensure we can get an O-lineman in the second or third with one of those picks. If we took an O-lineman in the first round, we're trying to get a corner or something in the second or third round. You know what I'm saying? With a new acquired pick. So I feel like that's an option. Like I said, I'm completely – you have Chris Ballard to know – you know his track history. You know what he's done in the last few years. You know what he's done as a coach. I have no idea what Omar Khan – Omar Khan spent the most money on a free agent outside the organization when he gave Patrick Queen 3 years, $41 million. Like that's the most a free agent outside the organization has received in a new contract. So we really don't know what Omar Khan is up to, man. They call him the con artist, and so it's pretty cool to see the aggression of I love it though. I love it. You're getting Russell, you get Justin Fields. I love the moves that he's made. Man, I'm pumped, dude. So, you know, in our next episode, we got to dive into the day two picks. Some of those guys that you like there. Because that's where I'm really excited. And I hate that they've broken up the days where the first round is on one day and the second third is on the next day. I'm trying to get to that second day and see who's still out there. Because that's where I feel like a lot of times the draft is made and those sleeper. I ain't going to say sleeper. It's not even fair.
Yep.
But just those middle rounds, second, third, and fourth round.
And also who falls, right? I mean, who saw Joey Porter Jr. being there? Right? Everybody had him in the first last year.
And, dude, hey, that's true.
You never know.
That's so true. And we traded up. We traded up to get Broderick Jones. And I was like, oh, we just missed Joey Porter Jr. then. There, you know what I'm saying? I immediately thought, yeah, like, okay, there's no way he's going to be available. But sure enough, as you mentioned, we had the first pick in the second round that we acquired from the Bears. So there's some history there, the Bears and Steelers, that we traded Chase Claypool to the Bears. We got their second round pick, which ended up being the first in that second round. And Joey Porter Jr. was still available. And I'm glad he was. I'm sorry. Hey, like yeah, I said, yeah, you can't predict the draft, man. You can't predict the draft. So Chris, man, as we ready to close here, man, you know, in the future episodes, we got to talk about some of these quarterbacks. We got to talk about that still. And we're going to talk about the day two and day three picks also, with some of those sleepers to watch for. Because, man, I love looking for those late round guys. And, like, hey, watch for him. Tajay Spears is one that I had an eye on last year, and look, now he's going to be, he and Pollard are going to share the duties in Tennessee, man, and it's pretty cool.
Tariq Woolen was that guy for me.
Tariq, you called it.
Hit I've ever seen.
You called Tariq Woolen.
I was so bummed. He went right before us, and I'll never get over that. I was so excited about him.
You called Tariq Woolen. You called that dude from the beginning, and it was the Colts and the Seahawks. A lot of similarities between those two teams, how they project and how they look at certain athletes. Now, Pete Carroll is no longer in Seattle, so we don't know how the new regime is going to perceive and kind of the traits with the new athletes and stuff that come into the draft. But, yeah, you nailed Tariq Woolen. You said it, and I remember like it was yesterday, man, and I didn't know much about this dude from Texas San Antonio, but, hey. You knew, and the Seahawks knew too. So, Chris, man, I appreciate you. We'll do this again. We're going to get back in and talk about quarterbacks, talk about day two picks, and, hey, do a few more mock drafts and share what – and let me know where you're kind of leaning in those day two picks, and I'll do the same because I promise you I got a little draft board already made up, man. And this – I'm gonna be really excited to talk about the day two podcast episode because – that's where a lot of those guys that I'm comfortable getting. And I got a question to ask you. I ain't going to ask you yet, but I'm going to save it and ask you how you feel about those middle rounds compared to that first round, where the first round gets all the love, right? It gets all the attention. It gets all the hype. But the draft board is made on those middle rounds.
No, I'm like you said, man, I'm excited for day two. I'm excited for day three. I'm excited for day one. I'm just excited. I love the draft. I'm excited to see what we're going to do. I'm excited to see what other teams are going to do. You mentioned the quarterbacks. Who knows what's going to happen, but I'm excited for it. And yeah, hey, it'll be here in just a few weeks, man. And I can't wait, you know, to talk about the draft, you know, on that day. I can't wait to talk about it a little bit more on the way, on the road to the draft with you, man. So looking forward to it. I enjoyed this, and I can't wait to catch up with you next time, man.
Yes, sir. Until next time.